In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Welcome to Word for Life Radio with Brookside Baptist Church. I'm your host today. My name is Jacob Schnorr, and I'm filling in for Pastor Greg. Today's topic is going to be one that is somewhat controversial in most circles, and yet some people have no issue at all with believing in the topic and promoting it as they do on a regular basis. That topic is none other than the issue of speaking in tongues. I want to begin this study by asking a few questions. First, do you know someone who speaks in tongues? Do you know of a church that teaches speaking in tongues? Do you have friends or family members that believe that they have this gift? I can guarantee that every single person listening right now can answer yes to all, if not most, of those questions. Groups and sections of Christianity of people who speak in tongues is growing exponentially. It was approximately 584 million people on the planet consider themselves charismatic or Pentecostal. That adds up to about 9% of the world's population. Additionally, one-third of all Christians claim to be either charismatic or Pentecostal. In other words, over one-third of every Christian that you walk into and talk to would claim to a certain extent that the gift of tongues is for today. And I want to remind you that the charismatic movement has only been around for just over 100 years. In 1906 was the beginning and the birth of this movement at the Azusa Street Prayer Meeting. And since then, there has been approximately three separate waves of this movement, where each wave, there has been an exponentially large amount of increased people who join this movement. I want to begin this study in this way. In 1986, it was projected to be a year remembered for progress and innovation, but in most Americans' eyes, is only known for disaster and failure. After much testing and countless hours of training, the seven-man crew of the infamous Challenger spacecraft made its fateful launch, and millions of people watched in horror as an explosion caused the craft to fall back to the Earth, taking the life of every crew member. January 27th, 1986 is a day that signaled the wake-up call for NASA and as a result changed every aspect of how they functioned. Similarly, in 1986, there was a phone call to one man that would ultimately change his entire perspective on Christianity, most notably in this area of speaking in tongues. The man's name is Jack Deer. He was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary for over 10 years. Before that, he had worked on getting his undergraduate and doctorate of ministry at the seminary. Throughout that time, he additionally planted two conservative Bible churches that would consider themselves to be cessationist churches, meaning they believed that the miraculous gifts that were given to the apostles and the early church, that they have ceased. And yet, from one phone call, this man radically changed everything he believed about these miraculous gifts. So the question that we must ask about this man, but also about ourselves, is what do we believe about this issue? What do we believe is the answer to the question of, are tongues for today? Is this a gift that God wants us to be practicing for the benefit and edification of the church? Or is this something that had a very unique and a very particular role to a particular group of believers? And I pray that throughout this study that you will not be persuaded by anything that I say, but you'll be convinced by the truth of Scripture. So if you have your Bible, I strongly encourage you to grab it. We'll be doing more of a topical study, and then we'll be spending a significant amount of time with one passage near the end of this study. But for now, I'd like to give you a brief history of all the accounts of speaking in tongues that are in the Bible. The history may not be as extensive as some of you may think. If you've done any research about how many times we see in the Bible an occurrence of speaking in tongues happening, that adds up to three. The first of those three instances is Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. This is the presentation of Pentecost. The presentation of Pentecost. This is the first instance where we see speaking in tongues happening. And if you want to take a specific look at verses 4 and 6, that will have the account of this first and most important manifestation of tongues. And notice how this is the most unique and the most specific occurrence, and we see that in three ways. First of all, we see the audible manifestation of the Spirit. Notice how it says there is the rushing wind. There's the audible, that they recognize that God was using His Spirit in a unique way because of the audible manifestation of it. But second of all, notice that there's the visual manifestation of the Spirit. Notice how it says that there is the tongues of fire. In other words, that you could see above the disciples' heads that there was a visual, a physical tongue of fire that was above their head. So there's the audible, the visual, but then the linguistic manifestation of the Spirit. It says in three different spots in Acts chapter 2 that they spoke in other languages or in our own tongues. And I'm going to get into this more later, but I want to make it clear, first of all, that the gift of tongues has always been and will always be defined by earthly languages, ones that people on earth can speak and understand. Otherwise, you cannot interpret if you don't speak the language. So that's the first, the presentation of Pentecost. But second of all, I want to show you the preaching of Peter. This is the second in the chronological order in the book of Acts where we see the gift of tongues being poured out and manifested. So we see this in Acts chapter 10, verses 43 to 48. But if you're turning there, I'd like you to focus in on just verse 46. Verse 46 and 47 says, "And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also." That's an important phrase to remember, poured out on the Gentiles also. It carries on, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." In other words, this is a gift of tongues being poured out on Gentile believers, which is different than the Jewish believers at first. And this is by Peter. And I want to point out something else that is significant. If you notice in the passage that before Peter goes to the Gentiles, and we know this is the house of Cornelius, to preach the gospel, the good news that God's judgment would come, but that they need to trust in God, God told him to go to Joppa. Is there another Old Testament prophet that was called to go to the Gentiles? If you're tracking with me, his name is Jonah. God called Jonah to preach to the Gentiles, the Ninevites. And as we know by the historical account, he failed. Yet God called Peter hundreds of years later to go to Joppa, which was a port that you'd go to either ship or receive shipment or to travel on ships around the known world. And we know that Peter succeeded in his mission to preach. Why is that, though? What was the only difference between Jonah and Peter? We know it wasn't dedication, because Jonah was a prophet. He lived his life in dedication for the Lord. We know it wasn't simply Bible memory, because Jonah, multiple times in the prophet's book, we see him quoting passages of Scripture. In other words, he invested his life in the memorization of God's word. Peter was simply a fisherman. He had not spent extensive amounts of time memorizing the word of God. No, the only difference between Jonah and Peter is the Holy Spirit. Peter had the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which allowed him to succeed in God's ministry. And I want to pause for a second. Do you rely on the Holy Spirit to serve God in your ministry? Or do you rely on yourself and on your own intuition, innovation, and experience to serve God? If you can't say that you need the Holy Spirit to serve God in the way and in the places that you do, then you cannot say that you're truly serving God in a biblical way, because service to God is only genuinely carried out through the Spirit of God. So the second place that we see a manifestation of the gift of tongues is the preaching of Peter. Finally, the third and the last historical account of speaking in tongues is the persuading of Paul in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. And as you turn there, this is the famous passage of Peter approaching the disciples of John the Baptist. These were devout men. These were sincere men, because they believed that John was the messenger of God, that he was the one that was prophesied to pave the way of the Messiah, but they had not yet turned to the Messiah. If you are there in Acts chapter 19, join me in verse 3, where it says, "And he said to them," Paul speaking to the disciples of John the Baptist, "into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him." In other words, he's saying, you're right to believe that John is a righteous man, that John is one who is worthy to be followed, but he is not ultimately the one who you should be baptized into. Notice how he says, come after, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Notice how they, before Paul laid his hands on them, they needed to believe on Jesus, not simply on John the Baptist. So this is the third manifestation of the gift of tongues in Scripture. That is essentially the historical summary of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So you may be asking yourself, well, I thought that there were countless examples in the Bible of people speaking in tongues. I thought that there would be an endless list of people, of the apostles, of regular people just speaking in tongues, because that was such a normal part of church life. The reality is, out of the 28 chapters of Acts, we only have 3 instances. So before we get any further in the study, I want to leave you with a short challenge of not necessarily answering the question of, are tongues for today, but rather, what are you doing to truly rely on Christ more, truly rely on his Spirit? More than anything, the purpose of tongues was to show that God was doing a work that he had not done before. And again, we saw this in the 3 instances where God poured out his Spirit. First on Pentecost, to show all of the unbelieving Jews that God was using the Spirit in a new way. Then for the Gentiles with Cornelius, that God was opening this not just to unbelieving Jews, but the Gentiles. And finally, to those who were being dedicated and sincere, but were just confused, in the disciples of John the Baptist. So how are you relying on God's Spirit today? Lord bless. See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.